going up the road up to Baton Rouge, where one of your former coaches is, Cam Cameron. And it seems like, you know, through the first few games, he's really done a nice job with Zach Mettenberger. Just how is he as a coach, and what can he do to make young quarterbacks better, like he's kind of done this year?
Yeah. You know, my 4 years with Cam in San Diego were awesome. And, you know, that was a time when I was in my, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth years as a professional. So, obviously, young quarterback, still had a lot of learning to do. And he was a great coach for me. And I feel like he certainly has a way to challenge, you know, young quarterbacks and, you know, get the most out of you, get the best out of you. I actually paid him a visit, you know, this offseason, and drove up to Baton Rouge and spent some time with him and, you know, talking a little shop. Looking at some of their stuff, you know, obviously I felt like Cam was, you know, with our offense there with Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson and Sproles, you know, we got Sproles in 05 and had Michael Turner there for a little bit, and, you know, the other weapons that we had, you know, felt like he did a great job of moving guys around, you know, creating great matchups, you know, and really putting guys in positions to succeed. And so, you know, my experience with Cam was great, and always felt like, you know, he's very instrumental in my career, especially as a young player. And, you know, you've seen him going on and do that with other young quarterbacks. And he's got great opportunity at LSU with, you know, obviously a lot of talent and a good, you know, group of quarterbacks to really influence those guys. And I think all that's paid off. You know, you definitely see it in the results.
Did you take any of your pointers?
Who's that?
Cam. Did he take any of yours?
Oh, man, I don't know if it was my pointers. It was, you know, we were just talking shop, you know. Funny, you know, to compare notes a little bit, you know. He's been in the NFL, you know, for so long. Funny because, you know, he was the coach at Indiana University when I was at Purdue. So it was, the relationship was the other way around. You know, we were kind of the arch rivals, in-state rivals. But then, you know, obviously he became my coach at San Diego, and then he was in the NFL. So, you know, you're always looking at their offense. Obviously they were doing great things in Baltimore with Flacco and the weapons they had there. So it was always interesting to turn on the tape and see what he was doing and maybe compare it to what we were doing and that kind of thing. But, yeah, you know, it looks like he's in a great, great situation now.
Drew, offensively, you guys haven't had the success we're used to seeing you have in the red zone. Are you seeing something different, or is it just a matter of
I think it's just execution. You know, and at least two occasions, it's been penalties. You know, we get a couple penalties that set you back, and, you know, the field is already compressed enough at that point, you know, and challenging enough to get 5 yards, much less, you know, 15 or 20 when you set yourself back. So we've got to do a better job with that. And I think just overall execution, you know, we've certainly had some opportunities and just haven't taken advantage of it yet. And, you know, eventually that'll bite us if we don't get it fixed. So something we're working on.
You kind of feel fortunate that you guys have been able to pick up two wins with some red zone struggles,
yeah,
considering how well you guys typically.
No, very fortunate, very fortunate. I mean, we, you know, we pride ourselves on being able to sustain drives and convert third downs and then obviously punch it in the end zone, in the red zone. You know, we've always been top in the league in that regard. You know, also the big plays. I mean, it's great when you get the big plays, you know, but you can't bank on that. You know, you gotta be ready to sustain drives and be patient and all those things. So definitely an area that we're focused on and need to clean up.
Getting back to the LSU thing, your evaluation of Patrick Peterson and Tyrann Mathieu on the Cardinals.
Yeah, yeah. They're both explosive players, you know, very talented playmakers, game changers. You know, so, you know, as you're sitting there watching film, you definitely two guys that you want to know where they are and how they're playing, and, you know, seems like they always have their eyes on the quarterback, you know. So definitely as we sit there and think about how to attack him and game plan and that kind of thing, you know, you definitely are aware of those two guys.
Yeah, Tyrann was like a risk-reward proposition in the draft, and maybe still is because it's so early, but, I mean, from what you've seen, he's to pay off, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say he's much more on the reward side at this point. You know, he's a playmaker. You know, he's a ball player. He's extremely instinctive. You know, so many things he does you just can't teach. They're just there, and he's got that, you know, that football moxie, you know, ability to make plays and be around the football and, you know, just do things that, you know, you just kind of shake your head at. Like, I don't know if you saw that play against the Rams where he chased the tight end down and dove and knocked the ball out, just the timing of that. But more impressive than that is if you watch him hit the ground, I'm not sure if he ever actually touched the ground when he fell, because he was up back on his feet so fast, you know, it was like a cat.
Or a honey badger.
Just watch him on YouTube.
Drew, any thoughts on Goldson having his suspension overturned?
I didn't see that. So what, yeah. He was suspended for a game and then it was overturned?
Yeah, yeah, they fined him $100,000, but they're going to let him play this week.
Well, you don't make the rules.
That's it?
That's it. I mean, no, he's had a lot of those. He certainly has no regard for the rules in the middle. He's going after guys' heads. You can see it. So, obviously, $100,000 is a pretty hefty fine. And I'm sure if it continues to happen, there'll be even greater punishment than that.
I know that you've talked about and addressed, I guess, hypocrisy from the legal office before. Does this seem like one of those situations when safety is at a premium if players aren't penalized or things are overturned in a situation like this?
What, hypocrisy?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's an evaluation process that goes along with it. And, you know, I mean, it's hard when you're coming off a game where you know, that was one of our guys that he was going after, you know, on more than one occasion. And then obviously the hit on Jimmy, which wasn't him. It was another one of their guys, but it was obvious that, you know, they were going at his head. So, you know, I got no sympathy for that. Obviously, I care for our guys, and I don't want to see that happen to our guys. And I know the rules. I know it's tough playing the safety position in the middle. Things happen fast. But then again, there's some instances where you can see it was pretty obvious that a guy was going at another guy's head, and that happened on at least two occasions in our game. But, you know, it is what it is. That's why the rules are in place to protect defensive players, and they'll continue to be enforced. Sometimes they get overturned. Sometimes they're just hefty fines. Sometimes you'll see suspensions. But I know it's a point of emphasis.
We always talk a lot about the adjustment defensive players have with the new rules in for safety. Is there an adjustment on your side?
You mean as a quarterback?
Yes.
Well, I know this. As a quarterback, the last thing I want to do is ever feel like I laid one of my guys out, you know, to dry. I know that we got guys that are courageous individuals. You know, they're going to go across the middle. They're going to go up for the ball. You know, there's times where, you know, listen, I'm going to put them in the best position I can to help them make a play, you know, and that's part of this game too. You know, we're probably going to throw more balls than most in that people probably wouldn't throw or attempt to throw, and that's just the trust that I have in our guys, you know, and Jimmy's going to go up and make a play, Marcus can make a play, Lance and others. But also I'm very aware of the fact that there's physical guys in between the numbers, in between the hashes, linebacker safeties that, you know, their job is to hit you and hit you hard and make you remember it and not want to come across the middle again. So I'm very aware of that, and the last thing I want to do is ever hang one of my guys out to dry.
How about with yourself? And I don't know if this is protected is the right word. Do you feel more protected with the rules? And again, you might say, hey, I don't want to feel protected, but just the way the rules are set up, does it change your mindset of playing quarterback in the NFL?
No. I'm aware of the rules that protect, you know, obviously defenseless players and a quarterback being one of them when he's in the pocket, you know, whether it's guys coming low, you know, when you're stepping into a throw and they're coming at a knee or an ankle or, you know, coming at a head, you know, when you're standing in the pocket. So very aware of those. Obviously, it's meant to protect guys that aren't in a position to protect themselves at the time. And, you know, you see defenders becoming more aware of that, and I think it's making the game, you know, safer. I'm not saying that it's not difficult for defensive players. I know it's very difficult for defensive players because instinctively, you know, things are happening so fast, and you know, you're kind of in another place as a defensive player. You know, you're thinking about, you know, hitting somebody as hard as you can and getting to the ball and, you know, doing all those things. They don't want to see a receiver catch a ball in the middle. They don't want to see a quarterback have all the time in the world to sit back in the pocket and deliver the ball and not get hit. I mean, they're trying to hit you. I know it's very difficult for defensive players, but the rules are in place to prevent, you know, guys from having serious, you know, head injuries, short-term and long-term.
Elite athletes do have the reflexes, don't they, though, a little bit to pull up or slightly change the angle when a ball has been deflected and is not going to be caught at the last second?
Yes, they do. I mean, to an extent. Like I said, you can turn on the film and you can – There's going to be hits throughout this year that are delivered, you know, to a guy's head that you're going to look at and say, God, that happened so fast that it's obvious that was not intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, too, there's a track record with some guys. You know, you'll look at some guys and say, hey, this is just a hard-nosed but clean player. you're going to look at other guys and say, hey, this guy's reputation is being a dirty player. He doesn't care. He's going for the head. And it's obvious by the film that you see or the number of penalties that he's racked up over the course of, you know, a period of time. So you're going to be able to evaluate that based upon the player. And if you flip on the film and you know what you're looking at, you know, if you know football and you know, you've been in that position before, you are well aware of the situation, you'll be able to say, hey, that was unintentional, or, man, that looked pretty dirty.
With the way you distribute the football, man, you know, I know Jimmy and Aaron have been big parts of the offense, but, I mean, has it been an emphasis to get the ball to them? And, you know, because I know you targeted both of those guys a ton against Tampa and not as much receivers. I mean, did that have to do with defense? Did it have to do with game plan? I guess these first couple weeks are...
Yeah, I mean, I think here we are just 2 weeks in, you know, and listen, we're executing the offense, you know, and we've called plenty of plays that could have gone to anybody. Maybe just happened to go to a Jimmy a little bit more, Sproles or what have you. But you know, we're going to keep kind of, you know, doing what we're doing and to fine tune. You know, we haven't been executing, you know, certain things very well. We need to improve upon those things. And I think you'll see better distribution, you know, as the season goes along.
Drew, a lot's been made of the fourth and one play down near the goal line with Mark Ingram. And a lot needs to be successful for a play like that to convert. Would you defend Ingram? He's taken a lot of heat for not picking up that tough yard. Was it all fall on him?
No, it doesn't all fall on him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys out there that you know, have to do their job in order to, you know, get him in the end zone. And listen, that was a great defensive effort, mm-hmm. you know, combined with guys on offense doing all the right things. But, man, it was just kind of a stalemate at the one-inch line, you know. I mean, credit to them. They stepped up and did a great job stopping us, you know. You know, so much, I think, in those calls is based upon momentum mm-hmm. and confidence at the time. And do you have a play call that you really like? And then, hey, did you get the look you thought you were going to get? And for us, no, that was not the look we thought we were going to get. So there was adjustments that had to be made. Mm-hmm. It's not what we did a good job of, but it's not what we had practiced, you know. And so, listen, but our job at the end of the day is you call the play, we make it work. And we didn't get in, so that's on us.
Is Ingram the right guy for that play? Obviously, you must have thought so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, had Pierre been in there, I would have said great. Had Sproles been in there, I would have said great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it you know, got confidence in all our guys, mm-hmm. No matter what the situation. I mean, and we do mix and match those guys quite a bit, mm-hmm. and I'll never question that.
What's your thought process when you come out of a one touchdown game for this offense, like last? You know, what are you thinking about? What are you regretting or upset about?
Well, I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there going, we had a chance, obviously, at the end of second quarter to punch one in for a touchdown, and we didn't. That should be a touchdown 9 out of 10, you know, and unfortunately that was the one. You know, the interception down here was, you know, should have been a touchdown. I mean, that's a 14-point swing. You know, so you combine those two, and all of a sudden that's a, you know,
standard.
You know, you're not. We wouldn't be having to drive down at the end of the game to kick a field goal, so we would have had 13 points plus the, you know, we're a 27-point game, and then you're saying, well, okay, on the road in the division, that should get you the win, you know. The fact is we did not, and there were other things that we could have done better, to, you know, execution. Maybe we convert a third down that instead of a field goal, it results in a touchdown, you know, because we had quite a few drives where we were attempting field goals. So a lot of things to clean up, a lot of things to improve upon.
Two more tough questions. I'm setting up a joke. Favorite sandwich at Jimmy John's and common lunchtime. Are there any fringe benefits to being a business owner?
Well, I can tell you this. Every time I walk in Jimmy John's, I pay for my meal. It's never, you know, even though I am one of the owners, it's not, you know, I get free sandwiches and free whatever I want. I walk in, pay just like everybody else. I always get the number 9. Number 9, no cheese. Sometimes hot peppers. Sometimes not. That's the Italian nightclub. I'll get the gargantuan every now and then, which is basically the Italian, but with, you know, ham, roast beef, and a little extra. So that's if you're really hungry. But the hot peppers is a nice touch. If you haven't tried that, you got to try that.
You think that 40-point game is on the horizon? I mean, you guys have done that so many times. Do you think that's coming?
Well, I love the question because you would say that's the expectation level around here, right? Is it we're used to having four or five of those a year where you're racking up 40. that's the level that we expect ourselves to play at, you know, and we haven't been at that level. I hope that it happens soon, especially walking away from these last 2 weeks, you know, we're averaging below 20 points a game. I mean, that's not what we're used to. You know, we're used to being much better than that. So there's a big sense of urgency around here, despite the fact that we're 2-0 and we're 2-0 in the division. And, you know, we've won these games. It was really just about a play here, a play there that could have meant, you know, gone the other way on us. And so we need to make sure that we're cleaning those things up, because it's only going to get more difficult. Margin for error is only going to get smaller. And, I mean, we know if we're going out and scoring 30-plus that we've got a great chance to win. And taking care of the football, you know, and doing some of the other things that we need to do to, you know, help our defense and play complementary football. But, you know, at the end of the day, did you score more points than them? And if so, yes, then you won. But, man, when you're scoring 30-plus, your chances of winning go way, way up.
Did you by any chance see the Gleason documentary last night and the trip to Portland?
You know what? I've seen bits and pieces. I did not see the piece last night, kind of all together. But I heard it was phenomenal. Can't wait to see it.
Drew, when the defense is playing, does it make it easier to take more chances or to be more aggressive?
When the defense is
playing as well as they are.
Yeah, yeah. It is. You know, what it does, I mean, in the game the other day, you know, our defense played phenomenal. I mean, the only two touchdowns they score is, you know, on two turnovers, in essence. You know, we give them the ball deep in our territory on one, and then we give them they run one back for a touchdown. So at the end of the day, you say, you know, our defense didn't give up any points. Those were all points that I gave up, for that matter, you know. So, you know, I feel terrible about that. But, yeah, when defense playing like that, it just, you feed off that. Because then, you know, especially, you know, they got us two turnovers right around midfield. I mean, that's, man, you feel like you're going to take those and go get points immediately. And that is complementary football at its best, where you're feeding off their emotion, their success, their, you know, ability to take the ball away and those kind of things. And you're capitalizing on those. And in turn, I think that feeds them. You know, when we're, you know, moving the balls in offense and sustaining drives and giving them rest and scoring points at the end of it, I mean, I know they get charged up too.
Jimmy's game, forgetting the stats, did it seem at all to you like a landmark game in his career, like a personal growth game for reasons beyond the numbers?
Walking away from it, had you asked me, hey, what do you think Jimmy's numbers were today, I wouldn't have said, was it 10 for 179 or 1 in, you know, I wouldn't have thought it was that much, you know, but I guess, you know, looking back on it, you start adding up, you're like, okay. So I guess my point is, you know, not that you have this expectation level, but it's just, you know, you're used to seeing a lot of those plays being made. And it's not like you take them for granted, you know, but I think we all just expect that if we're not putting up, you know, 400-plus yards as an offense, scoring 30-plus points, you know, running the ball well, throwing the ball well, hitting some big plays, doing these things, when those things don't happen is when you notice. When they're happening, it's just like, this is what we do.
But did it seem like you grew as a professional in any particular way in that game?
I'm not sure what you're referring to, so.
His demeanor and, you know, he just seemed a little kind of locked in and very resilient.
He's been locked in and very focused this entire offseason, and I can't say that this game more so than any, but I can say this season certainly. I think coming off last year where he was really banged up and, you know, fought through, you know, injuries that most people probably didn't know about, you know, I think he's just happy to be healthy and happy to be in the situation he's in.
Thank you.